Good to be in the house of God. I just got my new Bible. I see him taking off. I'm like, wait! Woo! I need that.
There are Bibles that way. Most people don't say
amen. That's right. It's funny because it came in the mail the other day. I ordered it because I ordered from Brother McVeigh. The writing's bigger in it than my other one. I love my other one. I've had that Bible for years now, but I just can't see as well. So I got this one. I'm getting excited over a Bible. Right here. I never in a million years thought I'd get excited when we're getting a Bible. I mean, it's like, I'm like, wow, a new Bible, all right. I got to open it up and read it. I'm like, and being here today. Well, what better place is it to be but here? I mean, honestly. That's a good time. We get to meet new people. I'm just going to say, God didn't bring you here for no reason. There's a reason why they cross our path today to have these visitors. And, the love of Jesus is shown in this church more than I've ever seen it. I mean, 6 years ago, 6.5 years ago, we came here, and it wasn't by accident. God had a plan. God saved Dale Morey just by coming to this church one time. He started. That was it. That's all it took. Six years ago. I got saved 2 years ago, and you know what? It's been the best thing to ever happen to me. I just started living. After 40 years, I finally started living. And I'm not ready to give it up yet.
Amen.
Not ready to stop. Amen. I've been going through it. I've been going through a lot. I mean, God's been running me through the ringer. I'm still not ready to give it up, though. I'm ready to stand up and fight more. I mean, this is how it's going to be. I was telling these young guys this morning, I said, you know what? God's not looking for wimpy Christians anymore. He needs some people that can stand up and do some things. Take some things on their shoulders once in a while. You got all these Christians out there calling themselves Christians. They're just as wimpy as the day they came out of their mother's womb. Can't do nothing on their own. God wants to build some people. I'm talking to the ladies too. God wants to build some people up and get them out there, man. If you can't handle anything that He gets you on your shoulders here, how can you handle it anywhere else? I think Christians need to be tested a little more than they are. That's what I have to say. If God's going to put me through, why not you? Why not build you up? And understand, not everybody's called to do anything. People are just called to get saved and sit in the pew. That's what they do for the rest of their life. And God wants them right there in that spot. There's not a thing wrong with it. But I'm telling you, if you even have an inkling of something that you think God's calling you to do something, go ahead and put your body, Romans 12, once a sacrifice for a reason. Are you willing? How many people here said, willing? 40 some odd years he was a pastor. He sacrificed his life. God, whatever you want from me, go ahead and do it. That's what he did. That's what he did. That's not an easy thing to do. Walking against the grain. I lived against the grain. That was a hard thing for me to do. It was just hard living against everything all the time. Having everybody against me all the time. I mean, it was a horrible life. You know what? But I wasn't raised in a family who loved me. The other day we seen a picture of a kid bleeding with his mouth and this and acid. You know, the kid's probably, you know, he got abused from the parents that in him was the story. And look at arm didn't understand that. Look at arm didn't understand that. And you know what? They said, well, what happened? What happened? So we explained it to him. Look, you know what Luke said? We don't get that in this house. That's right. Amen. You're not getting abused in my house.
Amen.
My kids ain't going to get beat in anger and all that. No. Hey, guess what? I wasn't raised in a family where we're lovey-dovey, Christians going to church, reading the Bible. I wasn't raised in a house like that. I had a drug addict mother, an alcoholic mother, who abused us with her boyfriends. Never stayed with one man. It was always somebody different. I mean, it got to the point where it was so horrible that I remember one, I still have a nightmare of this guy coming after me with an inner tube tire from a tire on the inside of an inner tube of a bicycle, and he used to beat me and my brother with it. Beat us. Then if we didn't like it, guess what we had to do for hours at a time? Kneel in the corner on raw rice. Go ahead, put some raw rice on the corner for a while and kneel on that. Then if we didn't listen, he would take our fingertips and burn them on a stove. That was my family. That's what I was showing. But we're going to show you there's a new start to a new life. Jesus gave me he saved me for a reason. For one, for His own glory. For two, to save me from hell. For three, for them three sitting on that pew right there.
Amen.
Let's go to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14, I was going to show you. I want to read a few things here. I mean, God is good. good. No matter what I'm going through. I talked to the pastor the other day. He knows I'm going through it. That's a hard thing. I cry. Yeah, I cry. Call me what you want. I was crying this morning. And I'm just having a hard time with everything. I looked in the mirror with failure getting old, man. Okay, I'm 42, but you got old. That ain't old. Trust me, my body's as old as a 72-year-old man. I hurt. I mean, I hurt second to none. You know what? A lot of it is, I told my told the Sunday school people this morning, you know what I said to them? I said, this is a product of living a life of sin. I looked in the mirror. I just go past this story. If you see right here next to my eye, you can see a scar right here. There's two of them, but you can see this one really good. I got jumped by 15 bikers, and they had to cut. The nurses and doctors had to cut this with scissors because my head was swelling. It was ripping me. That's the flashback that I had this morning. Because that's the kind of life I used to live. That's what God pulled me out of. He saved me from that lifestyle. I would have been dead right now. You guys don't know what I was. You hear of what I was, but you don't know what I really was. You don't know the type of person I really was. I can only sit here and tell you that. But I'm going to tell you something. I wasn't somebody you wanted to be a friend with. I guarantee it. That's a promise. I have a riddled body. That's because of the stupid things I've done. But drugs and alcohol, man, tore my body apart. Smoking cigarettes absolutely murdered me. That stuff killed me. Proverbs 14, we'll start in verse 11. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown. See that butt right there? But the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. I'm telling you right now. You want to make your family into something? You want to start raising your kids to be something and do something right? Then you need to get them in the house of God. You need to get them under the preaching. You need to get them into the Bible. You need to start doing things that are going to mean something to them for the rest of their life. Do you understand that every day that we waste on making mistakes on our kids is every day that they learn something different than we want them to? My house was, I did not learn how to have a family by watching the world. God forbid. If I ever watched the world for anything to try to learn anything from them. But I learned how to have a family right here.
Amen.
Right here and on my knees with my wife. That's how I learned how to have a family. Watching the men of God. Listening to your stories of what you guys did with your kids. Hey man, they don't get up here and tell you this for nothing. We need to listen to their wisdom. God has given them wisdom through things on how to raise your family. Now you guys all, most of us in here have been through a lot of abuse. Our kids do not have to go through that, neither do you ever again. They just don't have to. Where does the cycle stop, Luke? Doesn't it stop in our house? It stops in our house. It stops in this Maury house. I don't know about the other Maury house, or the other Maurys that live out in Albany and all that, but I know for this Maury house, it's done. I can give up and walk away. It's easier for me to walk away and go through what I go through than to stand up and be a Christian. But I'd rather stand up and be a Christian and fight for something that's worth something.
Right.
Why? Because I just came out of the world. And you know what? It did me no good. It was no good for me.
Right.
God pulled me out of the world, out of the drugs, out of alcohol, out of prisons and rehab. Listen, I've been through all that garbage. You know what? And so I'm getting to the point where I'm just even tired of talking about it because it means nothing to me anymore. I have a new life. And you know, it did me no good. Most of you guys can go to college, just get in, fill out your paperwork, you're done. I got to sit in front of committees to get into a college. Young people, I have to sit in front of a committee and be humiliated every single time I want to get into college because of my past. They have to bring up and dig up every single thing. And then when we go, like when we used to be on welfare and all that, you don't even know what I had to go through on being on welfare because of my past history. And you just go through a bunch of garbage. Is it worth it? It's not worth it. Go ahead and have your fun and think it's worth it. I'm telling you now, it's not worth it. I've been there. But you don't have to listen to me. Go ahead and be your idiot. That's what you're going to be, an idiot. I won't call you anything but what you are. You call me what you want me, what you believe in me that I am, and that's fine. Names don't hurt me. I've learned a long time ago, you can call me every name. Listen, I've been called every name in the book. Yeah, I don't think there's anything left out just to call me. You ain't hurting me that way. Because that's not what I am anymore. Amy's been a witness to family members calling me things. That, you know what? I'm not that. I used to be that. That used to be true of me, but that's not who I am today, so it doesn't bother me. If I came up to you and said, oh, you're a chair. Why'd you let it bother you if you're not a chair? That's what I'm saying. That's something I learned. And that's a hard lesson to learn. But you know what? If we just keep our mouth closed once in a while and let God defend it, that's something I was teaching my kids the other day when we were having BBB. Is I said, you need to let God take care of it. God said, vengeance is His. I said, if they put their hands on you, looking on them, go ahead. Have at it. You're not in trouble in my house. But if they're only saying things to you, no. You're going to be nice to them. You're going to pray for those who slay them. Pray for those who are calling you names. Because you know what? Showing them violence isn't going to help. And then if you being nice doesn't work and God decides not to mess with it, then we'll just leave it alone. If it escalates, mommy and daddy, believe me, daddy will step into it. I don't have issues stepping into nothing. I don't. I just don't. When Luke was being bullied in Cuba, I gave the principal, this is what you're going to do. You're going to take care of her. I'm going to step into the picture. Two things are going to happen. Luke's going to go in there. He's going to bring salt into his pocket. He's going to throw it in the kid's face and we're going to be done with it. And if the dad says anything, I'm going to take care of the dad. We're over. It's over with. Okay, so let's just solve it the right way. Let's get it done. Okay? But my kids know that it's better to pray than to go out there and take vengeance on somebody. There's a lot of people I sure like to take vengeance on, but you know what? Let God handle it. Let Him handle it.
Amen.
Now I'm His child. Now I'm His child. So now if God's not going to step in the way and defend me, then why am I going to defend myself? As long as they're not physically putting their hands on me, I'm okay with that. I really am. You start putting your hands on me, I will start putting my hands back on you. I mean, I'm going to defend myself. I got to. Jesus didn't say I had to sit there and let you beat on me. I got a cane now, so you make it better. just kidding. Okay. These two verses are clear. They're very clear. If you're building a house on the things of this world and not building them on the things of God, it surely will not stand. It will crumble and fall apart. Let's see what Jesus says in Matthew 7. Matthew 7. About where you're supposed to build your house. I mean, we've tried how many different ways of building our house, Amy? And there's one true way to build your house, and that's on the Word of God. I mean, we've had the best results. Consistent. Consistency has been so awesome for our kids. Bible, reading, praying, the way we take care of them, their spankings, how we take care of that. Listen, our kids, their brother and sister, when they get spanked, in your room. It's private. Me and you or you, mommy, we're going to take care of that business by ourselves. They're not spanked in front of everybody else. Why? Because then Autumn might laugh and this, and then I got to go after her. So I'm just going to alleviate everything. That's a new rule they're learning now. If you laugh at your brother or sister, you're taking the punishment. I like when Pastor said this, and now we're putting it in our house. That's, you know what? It stops a lot of laughing.
Works like a charm.
So anyway, Matthew 7, I'm sorry, 24 through 27. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things, saith mine, and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And we know, if anybody in here, pretty much everybody in here has read the Bible, we know who that rock is. We know that rock is Jesus Christ. There's the very first thing, the foundation that you need for building your house, the parents need to be saved. Bottom line, you can do it being an unsaved person because me and Amy really tried to implement it, but it's really hard. Because how are we going to teach our kids more ourselves in a rebellious state? We have a rebellious heart. I'm not saying you can't. A lot of my life changed before I got saved. But not all of it. It came to a point where God was like, all right, Dale, now we need to get you saved. You need to be saved before we go any farther. Because my heart was still going to be rebellious against God that I can't teach my kids. Don't forget now, our kids see what we do. I don't see what everybody does in this house, in your houses and this and that. But I'm telling you now, watch the way you live because your kids see that. And if you think that you're acting one way on Sunday in church and then going home and acting like you, your kids are going to see that. They're never going to get things right in their heart or their head.
That's right.
You're going to have the most confused children ever.
That's right.
We need to be one way and one way only. And that's one thing me and Amy strive to be, is one way. Sometimes we act a little different at home, because sometimes we're a little more comfortable. But as far as character and that, no. They know the rules. They know what we're doing. They know what's going to be done. Why? Because I don't want my kids growing up being confused, thinking, oh, my mom and dad are called world. and they're going to find themselves in a whole lot of mess.
That's right.
No, my feet, both of my feet, and listen to me, I'm not perfect, but I'm telling you right now, both of my feet, both of my wife's feet, we are in this thing. We're in it for good. We're in it for life. We're in it until Jesus Christ goes ahead and calls us out of this world. Me and my wife have jumped into this thing. Me and my wife both. I mean both got on our faces and said, Lord, we're yours now. Go ahead, Lord, we're ready to get in this thing. We jumped in both feet for it. We're not even looking back at anything else. It's over with for me and my wife. We know where we're headed. We know. I mean, I may not know where I'm going to be tomorrow or what God's plan is, or this, but I know where I'm going at the end. And until I get there, no longer am I... That's why the devil's mad at me. I'm just letting you know. The devil's mad at me. Because no longer... The pastor told me to do something. Just go out in the field and yell. Tell the devil he's no longer... You're no longer his that you bought. I didn't go out in the field, but I went in my room and I did it. And a peace came over me. I'm happier than I was last week. Why? Because I went and did that. And it was good. It was good to let the devil know I don't belong to you anymore. I'm a child of the Most High God. Amen. You go ahead and do what you got to do to me. Because I'm going to serve God no matter what He does and throws in my way.
Right. Good.
Submit yourselves unto God and the devil will flee. That's what I'm going to submit myself to God and let that devil just go ahead and hightail it out of here.
Amen.
Then you have your flesh. Your flesh is gonna stop you a lot of it's gonna stop you from doing what you need to do. That pride. I never realized how big pride was until after I got saved. I mean, really, I would say, yeah, I know my pride's getting in the way of this. Pastor would say, Dale, your pride. Yeah, I know. But I really never understood it until I got saved. Then I was just like, man, wow, you know, what an eye opener. That's why but when the Bible talks about pride, it's never a good thing.
Yes.
Therefore, whosoever hears these things. Verse 7, their mind that doeth them, and I will liken a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Storms! Them storms! Listen, Montgomery's,
Bayloves, when them storms come, where's your house founded on? What? You know what's going to happen? When them storms come, people are going to be able to tell what's going on in your household. They're going to be able to see where you stand.
They're going to look and say, well, let's see how firm a foundation they have now. Mm-hmm. They're going to look at you and know, and you know what? They're going to look at that. I'll tell you right now what an impact on people it's going to have.
That's right.
When you stand and say, no, we're okay. We'll be fine. It came to the point, and I thank God for Christian people and family, that people were helping us out. And I finally just had to say, we have to do it on our own now, Andy. We have to just do it on our own. We got to stand on it. Why? Because I believe it's hindering. It's hindering her family and some of my family seeing that we really believe on God, because it just seems like they're always trying to help us out. I don't want your help anymore. That's what I have to tell them. Because I believe God's going to take care of me, Amy. I just had to tell them, I'm cutting it off. It's over with. It's done. Let me and Amy be on this on our own. I don't want it no more. Why? Why do I say it? Am I crazy for saying it? No. I believe God. I believe, I have faith that Jesus is going to take care of us. I do. That's how much I just believe. I don't care if we have $1 left in our bank account, then that's where we're supposed to be. It doesn't matter. He'll take care of it. And here's what I'm trying to get at when I say it, because I see people looking at me like I'm a nut. I want people to really see and understand that me and Amy do have a faith in Christ. I don't need a faith in a human being.
That's right.
And I love the people who help me. I do. I mean, I appreciate everything that everybody has ever done for me. I do. I love you guys for it. And maybe one day I'll be able to pay you back somehow or help you out one way or another. But I'm just telling you this right now. I have faith in Jesus. I don't got nothing else, man. I don't want nothing else. I like just relying on Jesus Christ. I like just having Him being my only hope. I love that. Amy looks at me sometimes like I'm a Nazi, but I love that. God has to strip everything from me. The only thing I have left is Him. Man, I like being there. I feel comfortable there. I feel comfortable in that comfort zone of being around Jesus Christ. I feel that love. I learn more when I'm in trials like this and going through things. I learn more about Jesus Christ and who He, His compassion. Who He really is. What He really wants to do for people. What He has really done for me. I see more of that when I go through things and He's there walking me through. I learn more in the Bible. I see things more clearly when I'm in places like this than I do when I'm sitting there trying to be holier than thou. Mm-hmm. I just do.
Right.
I like being here sometimes. Because I've shown a lot more than when I'm out there thinking that I'm living a whole spiritual life. My wife, just amazed. I don't say nothing. I'm not trying to blow her head up or anybody else. But just the things the Lord's been teaching her, just the change I've seen in her. I mean, just God's working in us in times like this. And you know what? If it took this for me and my family to be in this for the rest of our lives, I'd rather have it because there's more peace, joy, steadiness for our family. I mean, just things are really good. It's peaceful. Hard, okay? I'm just stressing. It's hard. But our kids are happy. I had somebody the other day, I don't know where I was at, some worldly person goes, gosh, you got really happy kids. I said, because we have Jesus.
Amen.
That's what we have. This Morey household has Jesus. This is not something that we just carry around. Listen, I just want to make this clear. We don't just do this. We don't play this pretend thing just on Sundays or Wednesdays. This goes home with us. My kids have their own Bibles. They do their own prayers. We do BBB. This stuff goes home with us, doesn't it, guys? Yes or no? Now I'm starting to teach Luke how to get in there. Now, how did I learn this? Through the Bible, watching the man of God. But I'm starting to teach him how to do manly things. One day he's going to be the head of his own house. Whose responsibility is that to teach him?
That's right.
Hey, I'm teaching him how to pray for our household.
That's good.
I'm putting him in charge of some things that he needs to be in charge of.
That's good.
I'm explaining to him why he needs to do what he does.
That's good.
That's my responsibility. God, now did anybody teach me that? No. No. I have God who's gave me that changed heart. You see, because otherwise I wouldn't have done it. I didn't have a work ethic until I got saved. How's that simple? I did not have a work ethic until I got saved. I didn't have a desire to work in my heart, not one bit, until after I got saved. And who teaches me that? That's that firm foundation. That's that rock. And I got to get to the second part here because I want to see. And it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock, and everyone that heareth these things of mine sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a foolish man, the person who doesn't do this, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and upon that house, and it fell. Listen, it doesn't say it just fell. And great was the fall of it. And great. Do you know how many times I sit back, and I'm sure other people can sit back, and we watch these families just get torn apart and twisted. They say they're Christians and this and that, but their households are a hell to be around. Their households are a hell to be in, and then they say they're okay. And time again, we just watch the storms come and blow all the pieces. And we go, why? Why would you want to live a life like that? Don't you see? I was like, oh yeah, we know. But, you know, we're okay right now. No, you're not okay. No, you're not. Look at yourself. Look at you putting yourself through. Look at you putting your kids through. Listen, if your house is not built on that rock, you're built on sand, and it's going to fall, and it's going to be a great one. How do I know that? I know that because I've got divorces behind me. I've got kids that I didn't never take care of. That's part of the American destruction. And everybody's okay with that. It makes me puke when I just see people that are okay with this kind of stuff. They allow this stuff to take place now, and it's not a big deal anymore. We'll just cover it up and we'll take care of it ourselves. I mean, all this homosexuality, immorality, all these crimes and all this stuff. Listen, nobody is frowning on it anymore. There's very few pastors I even hear that will preach on it anymore. And when they do preach to it, they're preaching to a comfortable crowd. Bring that stuff to the streets where it's needed. Bring that to the broken families. Or like Pastor used to go and he used to preach in front of abortion clinics. Get the people back out there and do that again. It worked. He tells the story, but one time it worked. That's one baby that did not have to get killed. That's one baby. And people were okay with it. Now they're putting all these pills out there. They're okay. Everybody except for nuns, you don't have to, are forced to take them. You kidding me? God forbid when my daughter, 14, 15 years old, comes home and she's pregnant. And people are saying, it's okay, come on in. Come on. I mean, sometimes there's nothing we can do. But you know what? That just shows you what people are not doing. That shows you what preachers, pastors, evangelists, you sitting in the pew, are not doing. We are not out there doing what God has asked us to do. Sure, our families are built on the firm foundation. What about other families? Listen, there's families out there that are suffering today that we could be doing something about, and we're not. Don't you think somebody would like to sit in a church pew like the Montgomerys get to? Like the Spencers, like the Morris, like the Bailey. Then how come we're not bringing them in here? Are we just going to be that greedy we're going to hold on to it for ourselves? Hey, I'm guilty. I said we. I didn't say you. I said we. There's many families that should be sitting in these pews today being able to enjoy life like we are. Being able to learn how to build. Hey, there's people that have no clue how to raise a family. This Bible will teach them. And they'll be able to sit here and see happy kids, happy families, husbands and wives working things, happy moms, raising your kids in the house of God. Talk about you guys, single mothers. We can teach them. How many single mothers do you guys know out there that don't have? That's right. See, that's a ministry for you guys alone.
Yeah.
You can teach them. You guys have joy, you're single moms and that, but you still have joy. Why? Because you come into the house of God. You come in here on Wednesdays. You learn things. You go to preaching. You travel down south to hear preaching and all that. Your house is still built on a rock, on that foundation. Your house is still built on that. Just because you don't have a man by you right now, you have the ultimate man. You have Jesus Christ. That's who you should be worrying about. Paul says, if you don't have to marry, then don't, because you'll have more concentration on Jesus Christ than you will on man. Hey, husband, guy, listen, don't get married if you don't have to. Why? Because you'd be more worried about Jesus than you were the things of this world. Right now, if you guys who don't have a husband, worry about Jesus Christ. Let that be the one you have to satisfy. If he still brings somebody else in your life, okay, good. But if he does not, then you should be worried about pleasing him.
Right.
That's the only thing you should be pleasing. But did you ever take into consideration, I don't know where this came from, I'm just going to say it, because I love you. Maybe there's something you're not doing right in your life. God has not brought a woman or a man into your life. Maybe God doesn't want you to have one. Maybe God right now just says now's not the time. Right now we need to get this right and then maybe think about something else. Maybe God wants you to wholly turn your life over to Him.
Hello?
Anything. I'm just going to tell you this, and I still have struggle with this, but anything, anything, including your family that you put above God, is going to hinder anything He has for your life. That's something that we should be doing on a daily basis. Is one, Lord, what have I put in front of you today? Lord, let me get that right with you today. He'll show you. He's happy to show you what's in front of him. He don't want nobody in front of him or nothing in front of him. But I'm just telling you, families, if you're not building your house on that firm foundation, get it and get it right quick.
Yeah.
The future of your children depend on that. We have children that we're trying to raise because we want them to serve Jesus Christ. We want them to be in the house of God. When every single one of us in here are dead, how do we know this guy here isn't going to be up here preaching with these deacons and her, she being married to a pastor, you know, a deacon, or you know, Luke up here preaching or being a deacon or a missionary, Aunt Autumn out in the missionary field with her husband, Josh. How do we know you're not going to be an elder of this church? You see? But I'm telling you now, if we let it die here, there's going to be no hope for this area.
That's right.
No hope. So let's build your house. Listen, I'm just telling you now, I got to stress this one more time.